Hey there. It's been a minute. A couple of weeks since I last published an episode of B2B Better. And the reason is I've just been super up against it. It's a really privileged position to be in. Since starting the business, I've just had a ton of really positive attention given to me. And I find myself 4 months in. I've got around five clients now. I'm about to onboard a sixth. Pipeline's looking good. I've spoken at a couple of events, been invited to speak at a few more, and all around I just am so grateful to have this opportunity to try and build something and have such an amazing network of support around me. But I've really let slide the production of this podcast, which is where it all started. And I've got 10 interviews in the backlog that I need to pull together and make them sound nice and get some promo clips produced, but I've just been struggling to find the kind of 6 to 8 hours it takes me to pull together an episode. But I didn't want to let another week go by without something being published, because if I'm building out a marketing agency, which I am, I do not want to be a marketing agency that is just too busy to do their own great marketing. So this is going to be a short, think of it as like a live studio session of B2B Better, where I'm just going to be riffing on some questions that I've been given by clients over the last couple of weeks, specifically related to how you can produce and develop and build your own podcast, your own branded show, as a means of driving growth for your business. So I'm not sure how or where this is going to go, but I'm glad that you're along for the ride. Here we go. I was actually inspired to record in this way after listening to a new podcast series from a creator that I absolutely love, a guy called Tim Chiasano. He is really big on TikTok, and his whole ethos and the way he lives his life and how he tackles professional and family challenges, and it's just all super inspiring. And he's just released a podcast called Long Winded by Nature, which is just him sitting in his basement riffing on a few ideas that he kind of scratches the surface of on his TikTok channel. So I was listening to it in the car this morning and I just thought, you know, that's a good format to be experimenting with for B2B Better. All right, let's get into it. So a lot of the clients that I'm speaking to at the moment who are thinking about launching their own podcasts, it's usually with the idea that the host is going to be the CEO or some other senior executive within the business. And I was talking to one CEO the other day and they said to me, you know, how do I, you know, I'm just naturally not a good presenter in a quote unquote public forum. So how can I overcome my fears, my inadequacies of being a podcast host? I think about this in a couple of different ways. So, you know, one, don't feel pressure to be the podcast host. You know, if there's someone within your organization who is just naturally more well-equipped to sit behind the microphone, they feel more comfortable with it, they're a great interviewer, give them the job of being a podcast host or your podcast host. There are other ways that you can be involved. You know, you could be a guest on the podcast alongside a client or a prospect that you're wanting to interview. You could think about developing a specific section or a segment of the show that features you, which is pre-recorded, maybe solo rather than with a guest. So you're still getting the exposure that you're looking for, but it's not as intense. Another way you could think about it is trying to play around with the format. So, you know, if you've been listening to previous episodes of B2B Better, specifically the last 20 or so, you'll have noticed a slight shift in the way that I'm presenting the podcast. It's no longer just a Q&A style interview. It's more narrative driven. You know, I'm still running the interviews with my guests, but in production, post-production, I'm cherry picking the key insights and cutting them together with my own takeaways layered on top, which I record after the fact. So if you're great at having conversations, but the fear is that you're going to stutter or you're going to give a lot of ums and ahs, or you're going to have to take things again as part of a live conversation and, you know, just getting it in one go is the issue, then play around with the format. You know, you can you can fix a lot of things in post when you have a flexible and malleable format like the one that B2B Better has. And the final thing I'll say on this one is that, you know, consider being a podcast host much like a public speaking engagement. If you struggle getting up in front of people and speaking, there are plenty of courses and resources available online to help you get better at that. One that I know a lot of friends use is they join up Toastmasters, which is an international organization designed to help people become better public speakers. I've heard good things about David Hill's Hacking Public Speaking course. That's been recommended to me a couple of times. Even doing something like an improv class. You know, for those of you who don't know my background, I was a theater brat. I went to university to study drama. Every intention of going on and becoming a director or a producer. And obviously that didn't happen. But a lot of the skills and the lessons that I picked up from that time of my life, I use every single day now in all sorts of different things. And doing something like an improv class helps you build up the confidence to become a better public speaker and to go with the flow and to ask the right questions and to keep things light and engaging. So, you know, if you've got some, just like with any muscle, you know, it requires training to become a good podcast host. No matter what, you will look back after 10, 50, 100 episodes and you'll look back to those original ones and you'll be like, man, they were terrible. That is something you're never going to be able to get away from. But just like any muscle, it requires training. So, you know, invest in your education, invest in your skill development is the advice that I give some of my clients who struggle to overcome their fear and inadequacies in becoming a podcast host. Another question I got earlier this week, actually, what are the main success criteria for a B2B podcast for us as a brand? I think it really depends on like what your goals are. You can't judge success unless you know what it is that you're aiming for. I think working in B2B, there are very few organizations, very few brands that when you really drill down into it, are looking for a huge volume of downloads and engagement. They may think that's what they need or they want, but particularly right now with so much scrutiny on the bottom line and investing in programs that generate pipeline, generate revenue, trying to become the next Joe Rogan of our category is a very difficult task and also one that probably isn't necessarily aligned with the core objectives of running something like a podcast program. Downloads, engagements, you know, important metrics to track, good leading indicators that what you're delivering is resonating with your prospective buyers. Should they be used as the North Star metric? I think it's debatable, for the majority of businesses. The kind of things that I'm looking at when, I'm building out a podcast on the behalf of a client are things that I can attribute back to the commercial success of the business. So for instance, am I using this podcast as an account-based marketing play? This is something that I've done in previous companies I've worked for. We've developed a target list of enterprise accounts that we're struggling to open. So we then invite those target accounts onto the podcast to talk about a subject that they're really interested in. Now, that in of itself, when you're selling it to enterprise, is unlikely to convert into a deal directly. But it's something that a marketing team over time can increasingly point back to and say, well, the relationship started at that point. You know, we really started to develop some sort of traction in this relationship when we invited them onto the podcast. And we built a one-to-one personal relationship, not from a place of us trying to sell, but from a place of us trying to deliver value. So looking at metrics like, you know, what is the guest pitch win ratio? We sent out 50 invites. We got 40 back, or 40 people said that they come on the podcast. Yeah, it's a really good percentage. You know, that's a metric that I'm keen to track because it allows me to, you know, paint a strong picture that marketing is developing a program that's ultimately going to contribute to the financial health of the business. How many relationships, new relationships, were we able to build and sustain, you know, off the back of inviting potential prospects onto our podcast? Another thing is, are we seeing, you know, the host of the podcast, let's say it's the CEO, being invited to speak at more events or to engage with the media or invited onto other podcasts within our space? You know, that's also a really good metric, because when you're selling into enterprise, it's all about personal relationships. It's all about helping executives develop their own thought leadership and build out their own profiles publicly. So if you're seeing a rise in the number of proactive speaking engagements coming your way that you can tie back to the podcast, oh, we're inviting you because we saw you speaking on your own show and we really liked what you were saying, so we want you to come and say it on ours. You know, that's a really good indicator to evaluate that your podcast is generating some traction. Qualitative social feedback is really, really important. Again, you know, since reformatting my own podcast over the last couple of months, I have definitely seen a marked increase in the number of people reaching out to me and saying that they are really enjoying the show, that they love the new style, that it's differentiated from other B2B marketing podcasts, of which there are many in the industry. I've even had some people, and this is very, you know, makes me feel all warm and fuzzy inside, say that they think it's the best B2B podcast that they listen to. And that wasn't really happening when I first started. So that's just kind of anecdotal, kind of positive, qualitative feedback that's coming my way. You can get somewhat sophisticated in tracking it and measuring it with like social listening tools and what have you. But yeah, you know that you're starting to resonate when you start seeing that increase in volume of positive qualitative feedback in the form of people reaching out to you, in the form of comments on promo posts, in reviews and other things of that nature. Ultimately, what a podcast should be tracked against long term is pipeline. If it's not ultimately driving commercial health, then one must question, especially right now in the current macroeconomic environment, whether a podcast is the right investment to make. Now, if you're thinking about investing in a podcast and you're expecting it to deliver commercial success in the next 2 weeks, let me tell you, that is a very, very, very tall order. You know, you should be expecting to devote at least 6 months worth of time, energy, and budget into a program like this before you're able to start pointing it back to attributable commercial success. But it can be done. And the way it can be done is by self-reported attribution is one way. Are people listing the podcast in your Where Did You Hear About Us field in the forms on your website? It can be tracked by sales, by tracking sales conversations. So are, you know, using a tool like Gong, for example, are you seeing the word podcast or your podcast name being mentioned by prospects when they're speaking to your BDRs? It can be tracked by including promotions or advertisements in your podcast that are, you know, promoting something within your business and incorporating a UTM link. You know, sending people to a white paper or to a landing page that is trackable via the podcast. So there are different ways that you can track that kind of pipeline contribution of a podcast. You just have to be clear on how you're going to do it before you start publishing episodes. It feels like I said the word podcast a bajillion times since I started recording this podcast, but I'm going to keep saying the word podcast during this promotional message of my podcast on my podcast. Have you ever thought about launching a podcast for your brand, but you aren't sure where to start? Well, you can book 60 minutes with me. That's right, the podcast host of this podcast, to talk about it. We'll brainstorm ideas on how to develop a podcast hook that your customers care about. We'll talk about what it takes to produce a podcast, practically speaking. And when it comes to promoting a podcast, whew, don't you worry, I've got you covered. Just head to b2b-better.com/podcast-assessment to find out more. I've also dropped the link in the description of this episode so you can get it there. All right, thanks. Bye. Someone said to me the other day, as someone who thinks a lot about building out podcasts, do you have a favorite? And I do. In fact, I've got several favorites, some related to work, most not. In regards to non-work related podcasts, I've just finished a 69 episode season of a podcast called The Adventure Zone. So it's a bit geeky, but I lean into my geekiness. I embrace it. It's a podcast about Dungeons and Dragons. It is three brothers and their dad playing D&D over 69 episodes, each one at least an hour long. I think if you like Dungeons and Dragons, you'll get a lot out of it. If you like kind of hearing compelling stories, character-driven stories set in a high fantasy world, you'll get a lot out of it. It's the only podcast I've cried to, I'll tell you that. At the end, you know, you spend so much time following these characters to kind of see them finish up and get their happy ever after. I mean, yeah, it was heartwarming, let's put it that way. I'm also really enjoying a new podcast by Julia Louis-Dreyfus called Wiser Than Me. And it's all about Julia interviewing kind of older women, older famous women, about how to live a long and meaningful life. And I really like it because, one, you know, Julia's interviewing some really interesting guests. Jane Fonda was the one that I listened to earlier today. But I actually think really structurally, the podcast is really strong. So it starts with an anecdote from Julia about kind of her life, which leads into the kind of crux of what that interview is going to be about with the celebrity guest. Then comes the interview itself, and her questioning is really pointed and well researched, and you can tell that, you know, she's got this kind of friendship with the guests that really shines through, which is makes for really pleasant listening. And then at the end of the podcast, at least the one I listened to, you know, she speaks to her mum. She calls up her mum on the phone and she kind of gives a bit of a debrief on like what happened in that podcast. So it's kind of like three parts of the episode, three acts, taking it back to my kind of theater days. And it's just a great kind of well-rounded, well-researched interview style podcast that the subject is really interesting and I find quite inspiring. So yeah, Wiser Than Me, check that one out. When it comes to work-related podcasts, there are a couple that I tend to tune into when I see a new episode. The A16Z podcast from Anderson Horowitz is a good one. B2B Power Hour from Aligned, which I think is a LinkedIn live show, which they turn into a podcast. Nick and Morgan, who host it, they just do a really good job on kind of like distilling down how modern-day B2B buying is structured and presenting like really actionable advice on how to kind of build a strategy that meets it. Daily Tech Headlines from Tom Merritt. I've always loved the idea of like really short bite-sized podcast episodes released on a daily cadence. Probably only works if you're reporting on news within your industry or your space, but I don't know. I just feel like there's a huge opportunity for so many brands to like do a better job than the trade journal in their industry and just present unique perspectives on the comings and goings and happenings of what's developing in their space, because so many trade journalists are so bad at it, or trade magazines, I should say. So yeah, Daily Tech Headlines, it's like 5 minutes per episode and it just breaks down like the biggest news of tech and of that day. So I like listening to that. Unthinkable by Jay Akunzo. Jay is just like super inspiring as a creator. The way he kind of structures his interviews with guests and how that kind of manifests itself into a super high polished end product is just, you got to check it out. It's amazing. And the final one I'll give a shout out to is Lenny's podcast by Lenny Raczyski. So Lenny's got a really popular newsletter on Substack. If you haven't heard of him, hundreds of thousands of followers, and he launched a podcast earlier this year or maybe late last year. It's a pretty standard Q&A style interview with guests working across product and marketing and business development in the tech space. What I really like about what he does with it is the distribution piece. He just has this uncanny ability of extracting like viral sound bites from his guests, which he then packages up into social video clips and gets them out on TikTok and LinkedIn and wherever else. I've heard people say that, you know, they really only watch the videos on social media rather than listening to the full interview. Because yeah, they're just the kind of distribution piece is so good. So yeah, definitely check out the full podcast, but the distribution is really where Lenny's podcast shines for me. All right, next question. How do I generate customer insights from a B2B podcast? This is something I don't see a lot of people talking about. Now, a podcast inherently is a piece of promotional material, but I've also used it as a way to get closer to my customers and really get under the hood of how are they engaging with content and what does their buying committee look like and how do they research new products or solutions in their space. You know, there are just some organizations out there that can't adhere to the talk to your customers advice when it comes to market research. You know, as marketers, we're always told, just talk to your customers and everything will be made clear. If you're working in an organization that sells into enterprise, like the, you know, Fortune 500 or whatever, and you're selling into CTOs or CEOs or CXOs or whatever, the idea of that kind of level of executive giving you half an hour of their time so you can pick their brains on their content consumption habits is just laughable. And also, you know, your own organization is probably not going to put you up for that kind of opportunity because they want to preserve and protect the relationship at all costs. And hey, we don't know what marketing is going to say to this person, and we're already fighting a dozen or so fires on this account. We don't want to make it worse by trying to take some of this executive's time. So that's kind of my experience working in kind of enterprise organizations, is like talking to customers isn't always as easy as it sounds. But when you've got something like a podcast, you have an opportunity, because through strategically targeted questions in the context of running a podcast interview, you can start to generate some of those insights. Now, it depends obviously what you're trying to find out, but let's say it was some, you know, kind of demographic information. Are there any trends we can identify across a targeted group of customers in regards to, you know, what magazines they're reading or what social media accounts they're following or whatever? Now, every interview is going to be custom. Every interview is going to be unique, but that doesn't stop you from asking the same kind of five lightning round questions at the end of each episode. What kind of content do you consume? What are the biggest challenges that your business is facing right now? Where do you think the industry is going to be in 5 years' time? Like, these are just generic examples, but you see where I'm getting at. You know, do enough of these interviews with prospective targets, with customers, introduce some consistency in the questions that you're asking. And over time, you can aggregate these answers into insights that can help you guide and develop your strategy. So is it a foolproof way of conducting customer research? Absolutely not. Is it a way to get from zero to one in a situation where other channels are blocked or unavailable? Absolutely. Here's one I get all the time. What is the tech stack of an MVP podcast look like? The answer is, not that complicated. I've been using the same microphone. It's a Samsung Q2U since I started B2B Better in August of 2020. It has never failed me. Now, as I do more of these things and I want to invest more in the kind of quality of the production of this podcast, I'm probably going to go out there and buy something a little bit more chunkier. But the Samsung Q2U cost me like £80, and it has never let me down. So microphone is probably the biggest bit of hardware that you're going to have to invest in initially. You don't want to be recording on AirPods or anything like that. Just, you know, spend 80 to 100 quid, get a good microphone. Blue Yeti is also a good starter one as well. From a software perspective, you're going to need a host, a podcast host. I used Buzzsprout for a long time. I recently moved over to podcast.co because I was looking to introduce some automation in the production of my podcast. And podcast.co, as far as I can tell, is the only one that's integrated with Zapier. Coincidentally, I did notice that my download started to increase when I went over to podcast.co. I don't think it has any bearing on it, but just an interesting aside. So microphone, podcast host, you need obviously something to record your interviews. Lots of people use Riverside. A lot of people are very happy with Riverside.fm. I record my podcast interviews on Zoom because when it comes to consistency and quality, I just feel like Zoom is the best option. In terms of user experience, it is somewhat lacking. And, Riverside's got a lot of really cool features in regards to waiting room and, you know, extracting out separate audio files and a bunch of other things. But I don't know. Zoom has never failed. You know, I've never been on an interview and suddenly it's just cut out, you know, unless it was like my Wi-Fi totally shutting down, where I have with some of these third-party tools had issues with just recordings dropping or downloads not being recorded. So I record on Zoom. It costs what it costs. I think it's like £19 a month. But obviously you can run all your video calls on there as well. You're also going to need something to edit the podcast with. I see a lot of people using Descript, which is great because it automatically generates a transcript and then you can just edit it like it's a Word document. I do it in GarageBand because it's free and because I'm cutting and chopping my podcast episodes and then, you know, recording things in post-production and dropping them back in, it's just easier for me to use GarageBand. I find it easier for me to use GarageBand and I think my podcast stands up against any other podcast that is recorded on something like Descript. So if you know how to use it, it's a great free alternative. Descript's also a great way to go as well. When it comes to promotion, I mean, really, this is where you're going to see the greatest degree of variety in terms of tools and kind of tech stack. When it comes to designing graphical assets, I use Canva. I think it's a great starter tool in absence of having a professional designer on staff. You pay, what is it, £10-15 a month, and you have access to hundreds of thousands of templates that you can just start using immediately and just kind of customize to fit your brand. When it comes to doing kind of video clips for social media, I do use Descript, though Canva is also an alternative that you may wish to use. And then, when it comes to promotion, it's really just across organic social media channels. So LinkedIn, Twitter, and also my newsletter. There are other things that are involved in the production process. Like when it comes to planning and project management, I use a tool called ClickUp, which is accessible by some of the freelancers that I use. So we can all kind of just manage the project collaboratively and in real time. I use Google Drive and all the various tools within Google Drive, like Google Docs, for example, to build out run sheets and produce questions, which I can then send to guests in advance of the actual interview itself. I've also been experimenting a bit with automation, as I said. You know, so for instance, I've got a Zapier setup where when a kind of completed episode is dropped into Google Drive, a transcript, it's automatically pulled into Descript, where a transcript is created of it. That transcript is then pulled into OpenAI with the prompt, you know, create show notes for this podcast episode, max out at 300 words, include bullet points, yada yada, and then that show note is then pulled into a Google Doc, which then goes into Google Drive again. It's just something I'm experimenting with at the moment. And I think, you know, in the interest of being a solo creator, everything that you can find and use that is going to help you get more through the door quicker is worth exploring. Is it foolproof? Absolutely not. Not yet. But if it gets me 60, 70% of the way there, then I'll happily take it. So when it comes to building out an MVP podcast stack. It does not need to be complicated. We're not trying to compete with the BBC when it comes to radio grade quality in our production. We just want to start developing the habit and introducing some consistent cadence in getting podcast content out there into the world. So it's been half an hour, 30 minutes. I can't believe it. How quickly it's flown by. Just answering some questions about how to kind of build and launch your own branded podcast. I've really enjoyed this. So I may do more of these again in the future. And if you have any questions about podcast strategy or marketing strategy more generally, just drop me an email, jason@b2b-better.com. And I'll happily answer them. Or you can just send me a DM on LinkedIn or connect with me on Twitter or whatever. I'm all over the place. You can find me all over the place. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for indulging me for this solo live studio episode of B2B Better. I will see you next time. And that's it for this episode of B2B Better. I do hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please leave a rating and a review in your podcast directory of choice. Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, I'm on them all. It is so appreciated. Also, check out my website, www.b2b-better.com, where you can learn about my strategic marketing advisory firm and all the services I offer, from fractional CMO work to marketing sprints to marketing audits and marketing mentorship and coaching. If you have a marketing challenge that you seem to be stuck on, you can book a free, totally no strings attached consultancy call with myself. The link is in the description of this episode. You can book it. It's on Calendly. It takes 2 seconds. Or you can email me, jason@b2b-better.com. I would just love to hear from you, what you think about the podcast, anything that I'm not talking about, I should be talking about, an episode that you loved, a guest I should interview. I want to hear it all. I want to be connected with you. Speaking of which, you can find me on Twitter @JasonRBradwell or on LinkedIn, Jason Bradwell. I've got the bright yellow profile picture. You can't miss me. See you next time.